Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
The Giants did lose the game. And ultimately, that's what they needed. We started today talking about the hideous football. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Taking your phone calls for another hour. The disaster that was our football scene yesterday between these two teams. And again, I know you wake up early to see that. You wake up early to watch the Giants. It's to watch Daniel Jones play. And that's really, I mean, that's where it starts and ends for me. You could tell it early on how he sails that ball over Neighbor's head. You know exactly how this game is going to go. The defense that once had a pass rush no longer does. Chuba Hubbard absolutely, you know, runs it down their throat, 136 yards. Just an absolute debacle of a game, whether it's the turnovers, the missed field goal, the inability to make plays down the field for Daniel Jones, the flea flicker play that is just, I mean, that I could still see the screenshot in my head right now without even looking at it. The two wide receivers running just completely wide open. Wandell Robinson is wide open, and you could see how annoyed he is, how annoyed Brian Daboll is. Like, Daniel Jones is ruining this team. Like, there's no other way to put it, and that I'm not trying to be mean. I respect the hell out of him. He's tough. He looks for contact. He runs through contact. You had him last week. He takes on a defensive end, leaves him at the goal line, and runs in for a touchdown. This week, he pushed for a first down, just ran right into contact and kept pushing until he, you know, I mean, like, he's tough as nails. But the fact of the matter is, he's also brittle. And they have a contract with him that becomes guaranteed for next year if he gets hurt. There is no more reason to play Daniel Jones. It has to end. We could talk about the coach. We could talk about the GM. The fact of the matter is, I still believe in Brian Daboll. I still believe in Joe Shane. I still think, despite the fact that they are 2-8, and after losing to the worst team in the NFL, and despite watching the Jets at 4-25, the New York Giants are the worst team in the league. After losing that game, that's who the Carolina Panthers were. That's who the Carolina Panthers have been with Bryce Young as the starting quarterback. The worst team in the NFL. The worst defense in the NFL. The worst offense. Like, the worst team in the NFL. And the Giants flew out to Germany and got and didn't just lose. And I know it goes to overtime. They got their ass kicked in many ways. And they also should, I mean, at the same time, I say they got their ass kicked. If the quarterback makes a couple of plays, they probably win the game by 10 points. He is terrible. His inability to make big plays when they are open, his inability to stare pressure in the face and still make plays is killing this team. And it needs to end. It should have ended prior to this game. It should have ended at halftime of this game. And it needs to end now. And moving forward, we could quibble about the coach who has not done a great job. I'm not trying to tell you he has. When you're 2-8, nobody's done a good job. But the owner has given him a vote of confidence already. And here's my fear. My fear is, and I was just talking to Hoff, like, my fear is that Brian Daboll thinks he's coaching for his job. And that Brian Daboll thinks he needs wins. And honestly, if I were the owner, or if I were Brian Daboll, I would go into the owner's office. Or if I were the owner, I'd go into his office and say, look, you're coming back. Don't worry about it, because honestly, playing Daniel Jones is the detriment to this team, not only on wins and losses, which, again, if it was just wins and losses, I'd be fine with playing him, because he's going to lose more games than he's going to win. He helps get that number one overall pick. But his contract, if he gets hurt, could be here next year. And make no mistake, there is no worse thing for the New York Giants. I don't care where they pick. I don't care who their head coach is. I don't care who their general manager is. I don't care anything. I don't care what uniforms they wear. I don't care what field they play on. I don't care what kind of turf it is. There is only one thing that is an absolute, without question, disaster for this team, and that's Daniel Jones still under contract next year with the New York Giants. That's it. Everything else can be worked around. There is one thing that torpedoes the season, and that is Daniel Jones still being here. It has to end, and it has to end now. I can't look at it. He's broken. I don't know who broke him. In fact, that's not fair. I do. The New York Giants broke him. But broken is broken. Learn from your mistakes, and don't break the next guy. Go get the best pick you can get. And that's why, ultimately, I started with the Jets this morning, because the Jets are more disappointing. The Giants, I'm glad they lost. As terrible as that sounds, as disgusting as that feels, you know, as the words leave my lips, I'm glad they lost. It helps them next year. And I knew their season was dead. I went in knowing, no matter what happened against Carolina and Germany, that the season was dead. That they have no chance of a run with this team, with this talent, and with that quarterback. I know that. The Jets, on the other hand, heading into a game off of what was an incredibly impressive, and now feels less impressive as every day goes by, but an incredibly impressive at the time second half against the Texans last week, where they played well, where the offense showed up and they scored touchdowns, and they went out and beat a team that's going to win their division. And yeah, they're hampered with some injuries, but they just, with the same injuries, just took on the Detroit Lions, the best team in the NFC, and took them to the final seconds of the game on last night. Like, this is a good quality football team, the Texans. They're not perfect, but it's a good quality team that the Jets did nothing against in the first half and found a way to come out there in the second half and look like a winning football team. And they had 3 days extra to get ready for this game Sunday, and the performance that they put forth, and you knew it immediately. That game starts, and you know the defense didn't show up. Like, I am so flabbergasted and so disappointed and so upset with this Jet team. Now, losing is losing, and a loss is always possible. They're on the road across the country against a Cardinals team who's got a quarterback playing the best football he's played of his career. I just didn't know he was 17 straight completions good. I didn't know James Conner would break every single tackle. I didn't know Trey McBride would absolutely turn into Mark Bavaro and steamroll this Jet defense who just didn't show up. The effort level. Like, and it's not. And again, the coach, who cares what Holbrook has to say? He's not the coach. He won't be the coach next year. And whether he believes it was execution was the only issue, or, you know, hard on the team, or, you know, effort wasn't an issue, it certainly was. It certainly was an issue. That defense just chose not to show up. And it's hard for me to understand, coming off that victory with the extra time, knowing that you are, with a win, you are right in the thick of things in the AFC playoff picture. Right? The Broncos, I mean, aren't any good. The Colts just lost. The Broncos just lost. And they played their best game they played and got beat by a field goal by Kansas City. That's probably going to, you know, put a damper on their next couple of weeks. Like, those are the kind of games you either win or they cripple you. Like, that's like, they could have been right in the mix. And instead, yeah, the offense only scores 6 points and makes mistake after mistake and can't get in the end zone and, you know, showed up for a while. But that defensive performance, and obviously, of course, the play where Sauce Gardner can't bring down McBride and grabs him by the shoulders and spins him and thinks he's going to throw him to the ground or something. And he gets out of the tackle, gets the first down, and that leads to a score that really puts an end to this game. But it wasn't just the tackling. It mainly was the tackling, but it was they did whatever they wanted. He completed 17 straight passes. He scrambles for touchdowns. He did whatever he wanted. They did whatever they wanted. They got every third down they needed. And this game at 31-6 wasn't that close. And it was an embarrassing performance from the New York Jets, whose season is now over, along with the New York Giants. And I would tell you to do the same thing with them. I just don't know if you can. I don't know if you can with this quarterback. I don't know. You can't bench him. You can't go out there and try and lose with Aaron Rodgers. But here we are. It's November 11th. We don't deserve this. Like, quite honestly. And Jet fans, I feel worse for you because there was some hope of this team. This is the most talented roster I've ever seen accomplish this little. Like, I don't know if there's enough, and maybe I'm missing on one. Maybe one had just one devastating injury or something. I mean, I think their defense sucks, but clearly Cincinnati's a very talented team with only four wins right now. Like, but this Jet team, to have the level of talent they have, to only have three wins, to be 3-7 after the first 10 games, is doing less with more on a level that I didn't think possible inside the NFL. And watching them no-show defensively and get absolutely run over by Connor, by McBride, just absolutely manhandled. They were beat. They were out-physicaled. They were out-toughed. They were out-schemed. They were out-coached. They were out-everything. In a game they desperately needed, coming off their best half of the season, an extra time to prepare for it, and that's what you got. It's a hideous day of football. But at least the Giants got the loss, and at least on some level, I can go to sleep later today for the first time since the game ended, and put my head on that pillow and know that I've seen the last of Daniel Jones. And I'm not thrilled about it. I don't hold any ill will towards Daniel Jones, but it needs to freaking end. I can't watch it anymore. And there's only one thing that hurts this team moving forward, and that's him being the quarterback, and it can't happen. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Artis in Georgia. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Big fan of yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
I get up. I'm retired, and I usually be up, early in the morning, so I try to catch your show. But, hey, look, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's a crying shame. I've been a Giant fan for over 50 years. And to go into the season, I went into the season actually wanting to see them lose. And I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, and Daniel Jones, from all accounts, he looked like he's a great guy and everything. But he is who he is. Daniel Jones wasn't a star in college. We reached for him when we drafted him anyway. Yeah. And, that was one of those things where we needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
And we just drafted a quarterback. I have to explain this to one of my friends all the time. Just because we need a quarterback, and this quarterback's in this year's draft, I'm not saying this year, but the year that he was drafted.
Yeah.
That don't mean that we're supposed to take him, he's going to be the answer.
No, of course not. I understand that, but here's a couple of unique things. One, you're not wrong. There really was no reason to fall in full-bloom love with Daniel Jones from his days in Duke, the way David Gettleman did. But there was ability. There is ability. I mean, there is tools that could lead you to believe that he could be an NFL quarterback. And his year one, he threw a lot of touchdown passes. Year four, he took them to the playoffs. But he's been broken for whatever reason. And whether it's the amount of coaching changes they've made, giving him Garrett as an offense coordinator and Joe Judge as a head coach after his rookie year with, an actual offensive-minded head coach in Shermer, who's actually, been a fairly decent coordinator in this league. And then they gave him Joe Judge. But whatever the reason, poor offensive line, poor coaching, poor roster, poor weapons around him, whatever the reason, he's broke. And it's no more evident than watching that flea flicker that the coach, took blame for in the postgame. And that's part of it, too. And to be fair, I said the same thing about Robert Saleh. But it's hard to get a read on what kind of coach Brian Daboll is when I see Daniel Jones dragging down the entire offense and the entire team. Because I'm sorry, there are plays to be made. If Daniel Jones was a serviceable quarterback who could make a play, the Giants win this game easy. That flea flicker, there's two guys running wide open. That's a 50, 60-yard play. They don't make explosive plays because the quarterback is inept and can't make them. Tracy ran the ball for over 100 yards. They had a good run game, and they had plays to be made in the passing game. He can't make them. Now, the run defense sucked. They got exactly zero pressure on a young quarterback who's playing or has played like the worst quarterback in the league for his first year and a half. And Carolina is exactly that when he's the quarterback, the worst team in the NFL, and yet that's who they lost to. And for me, it's great. I think it's exactly what they needed. It gives them a leg up into the first pick. But watching it is an amazing chore that I can no longer tolerate. And again, I don't think Brian Daboll should be fired. I want him and Shane back. I do believe in continuity. I do think that the quarterback is holding them down. Now, they paid him. I get it. If they decide to move on, if John Mara decides to move on, I'm fine with it. But I do believe in them. I do want to see them. I do see things that I like from this coach at different times. I think the quarterback sucks. And I think it's very, very difficult to coach a team in the NFL with a terrible quarterback. And that's what you're getting from Daniel Jones. He can't do it. He can't. You draw up that play. Those are the plays that have to be made. And Kurt Warner said it beautifully on the broadcast. There are times where he can make a drive. There are times where he plays okay. But consistently throughout the game, he can't consistently play well. And in every NFL game, there are going to be three or four plays that the quarterback making the play or not making the play are going to dictate the outcome. And consistently, Daniel Jones doesn't make those plays. Every single game. He had an opportunity in this one. He can't do it. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Chris.
Yeah.
I rarely call anymore, but I had a call tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I agree with almost everything you said. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is broken. I went to Tampa's first game. I saw what he potentially could be way back when. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. I totally disagree with you. I'm Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I'm going to tell you why. I'll tell you why. Number one, after his 6-1 start, they won three games. Did win a great playoff game, but they were exposed to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Since then, they won three games after that 6-1 surprise.
Yep.
Since then, he's been a disaster. Okay. They had 6 months to prepare for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
After they were exposed by the Eagles,
yep.
And who they really were going into the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt.
And they lost 40-0.
Yes.
40-0. That's enough. This guy is Joe Judge, too. I'm telling you, Josh Allen made Brian Daboll, not the other way around.
Yeah.
That's the big debate. You could say what you want. We could agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But unless you get Bill Belichick in here, Bill Belichick, the best living coach alive, who will be the Cowboy coach, if you don't grab him and if you win two games this year, you cannot keep these guys on the staff. It's being malpractice by Mara and for the fan base. Second of all,
winning the games would be malpractice.
You can think what you want. I would have to keep him, though, because you can't play merry-go-round. But I want to see Bill Belichick, the greatest living coach still alive. I don't care about his age.
That's what living means.
I want him here. And otherwise, then you got to keep Daboll here. Because then you just play merry-go-round.
That's what I'm saying. Robbie, so we don't disagree. But, again, how are you going to get Bill Belichick in here, who you would think, again, because he's the greatest living coach alive, you would think that he's going to have somewhat of his choice of jobs. Maybe not every job, but there's going to be several jobs afforded to him. Unless the Giants are looking, and that you want to talk about another reason, maybe he loves a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe he's watched college football, talked to his buddy Nick Saban, and has a feel for Sanders or Ward or whomever. And maybe there's a quarterback he loves. That's the only chance you would have of a 2-win team, a 3-win team, getting Bill Belichick here. I think he loves the organization. I think he has a deep respect for the organization. And I even think that he doesn't need to go right to a guaranteed winner with a proven quarterback like so many think. I think he'd be willing to take on some certain level of not rebuild, but building. I don't know if he would take over a New York Giant team that is just in the throes of the middle of a rebuild that has completely been a horror show. He's going to take over a 2 or 3 win Giant team with no quarterback? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, sure, if Bill Belichick calls John Mara today or whenever the season ends and says, hey, look, this is the end of my career. This is the last job I'm going to have. You know, it started with you. I want it to end with you. I want to lead the Giants back into prominence. How do you say no to that call? I'm with you. Sure. Bring in Bill Belichick. How can you say no? But barring that, I don't know who I'm bringing in who I feel any better about. And I think it's unfair to say that Josh Allen made. You saw Josh Allen's year one. You saw Josh Allen's year two. And then you saw Josh Allen's year three. Brian Daboll was there for all of them. The clear progression. Like, he didn't step in and was Jaden Daniels. Right? Jaden Daniels or Stroud. And not that I don't want to give those quarterback or offensive coordinators respect or credit for what those quarterbacks have become. But when you step into the NFL and immediately transform an organization, I have, again, I don't want to dismiss them, but I have a little bit more of just, wow, he's special. He was ready to take over an NFL team. That was not the case with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a mistake-prone quarterback. Josh Allen, you know, needed 3 years to become what he's become. And Brian Daboll was there holding his hand, and he gives Brian Daboll credit. And the year Brian Daboll left, his first year with the Giants, was a regression year for Josh Allen. Now he's turned it back on, but he got worse the 1 year, that first year without Brian Daboll. Now that might have had as much to do with the offensive coordinator who took over, who's since been fired, and they brought in Brady, but like, I still think that he's had a lot to do with developing a young quarterback, and that's what I want to see him do. Even if you're right and he had nothing to do with it and he made him, fine. He was hired because we believed it. And John Mara believed it. I got to see it before I fire him. And again, I've seen a couple of good things. They've won 2 games. I get it. The quarterback is dragging them to the bottom. And to be fair, I said the same thing about Robert Saleh. So, and it didn't change. And I agree with you. 40-0 to the Cowboys off of, you know, for the first game of the year is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. All of it's embarrassing. And that's what I said. Like, you know, as soon as that, it was really at halftime. You were getting wind all over the place. Social media, different people. This is the most embarrassing. This is rock bottom. This is the low point. Traveling to Germany in front of the whole country, the whole world, watching them play at 9:30 in the morning. Machine Gun Kelly doing Rocky Mountain High. Doing John Denver at the halftime show. I mean, the whole world watching, and that's the performance. That's the first half, 0 points, 10-0 at the half. This is the new this. This is the new low. This is the worst. This is the low point. This is this. This is that. This is the most embarrassing, the most, the worst, the this, the that. And I'm like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Because as me and Fleeks told you on Friday, 10 years of Giants football, 8 of them, they won less than 40% of their games. 8 out of 10. This has been a decade of the most. This has been a decade of the worst. This has been a decade of new low point. This has been a decade of being the worst team in the NFL. A decade. I'm supposed to, like, you know, cry in my coffee at 9:30 in the morning because they're getting shut out at the half against the Carolina Panthers as if this is some new unmarked. They're 2-7 heading into the game. They're 2-7. The season was over before they took the flight. The season's over. Like, to me, I'm much more embarrassed with the Jets' performance than the Giants' performance. I can't be embarrassed anymore. They can't hurt me. The Jets still had the ability to hurt me if I'm a Jet fan, and that's exactly what they did. The Giants, it's signed, sealed, delivered. It's done. They're terrible. The team's terrible. The quarterback's terrible. And they're going nowhere, and they benefit from losing the game. The Jets didn't benefit at all yesterday. The Giants benefited at the end.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 4:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Oh, and before I forget, obviously, happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all of those who serve. You are the best of us. You're out there keeping us safe so I can yell about Daniel Jones and tanking. So it's never lost on any of us. And we take today to celebrate you. So thank you very much to all the veterans out there here on Veterans Day, November 11th, here at 4:31 in the morning, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Daniel Jones definitely started his last game as a New York Giant.
He better have.
The two interceptions, you know, near the red zone, the fumble, the throwing the ball over his neighbor's head.
He takes the terrible sack on third and one. He starts the game throwing it over neighbor's head. He takes the terrible sack on third and one. He's got the two interceptions. The one on the out to Tracy is a terribly thrown ball and a poor decision to even throw it to him, honestly, in that scenario. And then the tip ball as they're going in, having a good drive. Like, he is consistently, and then the most egregious one, arguably, is not getting rid of the football on the flea flicker where he's got two wide open wide receivers. He doesn't even have to be accurate. All he has to do is put it up in the air. Like, it's unbelievable to me how, like, and you go back to the last game too, like, they have a still shot of the final interception that seals the deal of the game. He's got two guys wide open. They have a screenshot of it. There's not even a commander in sight, and he throws an interception. Like, it's impossible to be as bad as he's been.
He does not give this team a fighting chance.
No, he doesn't uplift anyone. He doesn't make anyone better.
If the Giants are looking to tank, play him the rest of the season. But honestly, I don't say more than it's not worth the aggravation for the fans and anyone else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I mean, we've seen enough. It's got to stop. I can't see any more. And again, there's two ways to if Brian, and here's what scares me. What scares me is at two wins, Brian Daboll thinks he's coaching for his job. Now, I know the owner's already come out and said that they're not making a change this season, and he doesn't anticipate something along those lines, or doesn't expect to make a change in the offseason. That's not a firm clad, we will not be making a change in the offseason. But it's, you know, as close as that as you would take from your owner. But if he thinks he's coaching for his job, I'm worried Daniel Jones is going to play. But on some level, they have to understand what's best for this team. They have to be willing to tell the owner, look, I don't know how many games we're going to win with Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke, who I imagine would get first crack at it. Like, I don't know how many games we're going to win if we bench Daniel Jones. We've played him for the first 10. We've won two. Like, it's time to just move on. He can't get hurt and be here next year. It just can't happen. I would hope he understands that. But if they're worried about coaching for their jobs, if Shane and Daboll are worried that they need more wins to justify keeping their jobs, then we will see Daniel Jones. And I'm telling you right now, that's the one thing I would, if Daniel Jones starts again for the New York Giants, I want everybody gone. I'm open to firing them now, or not specifically right now, but moving on from them at the end of this year. I'm open to it now. They've been that bad. It's been that bad a rebuild. It's been that bad a season. It's been that bad a 2 years. You know, and then you bring in everything else: his inability to work with certain guys. What happened with Mick Martindale, who's still so bitter? He's taking shots all the way from Michigan. Kafka is obviously an offensive coordinator that's gotten some respect around the league. He's gotten head coaching opportunities. Last year, the reports are they gave him play calling, they take it away. Gave it back to him, take it away. Yelling at him, screaming at him, being unproductive on the headset. Like, there's been a lot of growing pains as a head coach. There's been a lot of growing pains as a head coach. So if it's deemed that the organization, that Brian Daboll is creating too much of a chaotic atmosphere and it's just not working and they've only won two games, I can't scream and argue that it's a mistake. But I do believe in him on some level. I do think he can be a good head coach in this league. I do think we've seen it in year one that he can be a head coach in this league, and at times this year that he could be a head coach in this league. I need him to have a quarterback that can actually function, because I'm telling you right now, we could say he only has two wins. Like, if he has a serviceable quarterback, they have four. Like, easy. Easy. Giants have four wins right now with an average quarterback. They win this game yesterday. Give me Dalton, right? If you take Dalton with a healthy thumb, I know he's banged up after a car accident. If you take Andy Dalton and put him on the New York Giants, they beat the brakes off the Carolina Panthers. It's a fact. I really feel pretty strongly about it. Daniel Jones can't make a play, can't throw the ball down the field. So if they can't, they're either incompetent that they put him in, they fear for their job and they keep him in, or the owner told them to keep him in. Either way, any of those three scenarios, I don't respect their standing inside the organization or their idiots, and it's probably time to move on. That's how much I feel. That's how strongly I feel about not playing Daniel Jones anymore. I'm open to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane coming back. If Daniel Jones takes another snap at the New York Giants, I want everybody fired. Robert in the Catskills. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, how you doing? You know, both the New York quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I'm sorry.
Rogers.
The Roger thing, it's done. We didn't need to do a clean slate as the Jets, and the same thing what you're talking about, the quarterback with Daniel Jones. I mean, I hear you. I think you can get a lot worse coaches than Daboll. But, I mean, and just jump back to Jets. Look what, just the perfect scenario for the Jets. They get rid of Williams the next day, the next week, he wins the game-winning catch. I mean, yeah. You cannot make this stuff up.
I mentioned it earlier, yeah.
Crazy.
No, you're
right on your. I mean, I know you're a Giant fan, but it's the Giants are on what they've been unwatchable, but we still hang on to the chance because of Eli and what they've done in those two seasons out of nowhere. You know, pull a rabbit out their ass, so to speak. I mean, you know, that's why we still hold on. But there is no hope with this team, and you could see. I mean, even just losing the talent, like I know he had his injury problems with Saquon Barkley had his injury problems.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see, when you have a good – he the difference of the Giants being, say, 5-12, you know, he is that good a player. But even he, you know, you need
no,
multiple.
That's,
you know,
man,
I'm not
cares.
Saying anything you don't know.
No, but Robert, that's what I'm saying, Robert. Who cares? Who cares? Oh, man, if only Saquon Barkley here, they'd be 5-12. Like, I mean – that's who wants to be 5-12? Saquon Barkley was the difference. They might win six games this year if Saquon Barkley was here. What did he do? Like, are we serious? Who cares about Saquon Barkley? I don't care. I don't care. I'm not kidding. Mike Williams scoring the game-winning touchdown for the Steelers, stepping into that building for half a week, you know, barely understanding what's going on with the offense and scoring that game-winning touchdown is more embarrassing to the New York Jets than if Saquon Barkley breaks the freaking rushing record with the Eagles than for the New York Giants. Like, I don't care. I honestly believe that. That is more embarrassing for the New York Jets than anything Saquon Barkley could do for the Eagles that's embarrassing for the New York Giants. Like, who cares? They weren't good with him. We saw it. Like, the Jets traded for this guy. It immediately failed. They couldn't figure out how to use him. They didn't understand that go routes are what he's best at. Him and Rodgers can't get together, but Russell Wilson? Mr. Unlimited? Who's like, you know, at the tail end of his career, he could figure out a way to use this guy and get a game-winning touchdown. The Jets couldn't figure it out in 10 weeks. Come on. That's embarrassing. For a team that's trying to chase a championship, for a team that's all in, for a team that's made every decision to try and chase this thing with a four-time MVP and Hall of Fame quarterback, they can't make it work with a talented guy like Mike Williams. He goes and scores the game-winning touchdown the first game he's with Pittsburgh. That's more embarrassing than the Giants losing after losing after losing after losing with Saquon Barkley. With him. People actually got upset after losing to Philadelphia and said it's embarrassing. Look what Saquon Barkley's doing to them. I mean, we just saw Miles Sanders in this game against Carolina. Miles Sanders kicked the crap out of them when he was the running back for Philadelphia. They had Miles Sanders, the Giants had Saquon Barkley, and it was a mismatch. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about Saquon Barkley. Man, if Saquon were here, they might win four or five games. Yeah, they might. And that would be worse. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Win two. Get that first pick. Take the quarterback. And if not, trade down to someone who will take the quarterback and get as many picks as possible. There is a distinct benefit to losing now for the New York Giants. There is no more benefit to winning. Robbie was just talking about it. After winning a playoff game, after making the playoffs, winning a road game against Minnesota, they followed that up with a first game 40-point loss at home to the Cowboys. There is no momentum. There is no building. It's not at this level. You think there's that? You think next year there'll be an impact if they win two or three games down the stretch? Do you think that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you honestly believe that the team will like benefit from showing a pulse down the stretch? No, it won't. It doesn't matter. It's all nonsense. We've seen it time and time again. There is no evidence that that's the case. Not with a quarterback who won't be here either. Like, there's not, like if it's a young quarterback, sure. Sure. You got Bo Nix. You got Drake May. If you're the New England Patriots, you want to win some games down the stretch instead of trying to get the best pick because you've already got the young quarterback and you want to see him develop? Yeah, of course. With Daniel Jones, there's no benefit to winning. With Drew Lock, with Tommy DeVito, there's no benefit to winning. Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
What really annoys me is the fact that I watched that Detroit Lions game last night. They were down 24-6 at the half, just like the Jets were. Mm-hmm. And the Lions played with a lot of heart and a lot of fight, and they came back and win. Why couldn't the Jets do that last night? I know it's different coaching.
No.
But listen. Dan Campbell is a coach. Like, I swear to God, like, he went into that locker room and he fired that team up. That defense came out and played great in the second half, shut down the Texans offense, just like the Jets did last Thursday. Mm-hmm. But the Jets, I don't understand. Down 24-6, just like the game was over. I was watching the SNY coverage. They said that when they got on the plane and before they opened the kickoff, they felt like they didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Who's going to coach this team in the offseason? Who's going to come here? Because I seriously don't want Vrabel. I want an offensive-minded coach. Who's going to come here? We don't know if Ben Johnson's going to come here. We don't know if the Texas offensive coordinator is going to come here. I don't know if Kingsbury would be the answer. Who's going to come here and coach this team? I don't want a defensive-minded coach. I want an offensive-minded coach that can come here and actually... Because who's the quarterback? Hired an offensive-minded coach.
Is Aaron Rodgers? Yeah? Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback?
I hope not, because Jared Goff last night down 24-3 brought this team back and won 26-24. Like, it was unbelievable how that game was over, and at halftime they came back and shut that team down.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers comes out in the second half, drives the team down the field. What happens? You go for it on fourth down. And they drive literally the length of the field on a horrible defense. Horrible defense. I just don't get it anymore.
No, I mean, listen, that's the difference is right now the Lions are playing, the Lions are 8-1 and the best team in the NFC. And they have belief that that's been built up over the last two seasons of being good football teams. The Jets don't have any of that right now, despite what the quarterback wanted to tell you to start the year. They don't. And, yeah, Goff has been better. Now, Goff doesn't do a lot. He's just extremely accurate. Like his completion percentage is through the roof. But why aren't they like the Jets? I mean, if you think it's as easy as Dan Campbell being the coach of this team would be the Jets would be the Lions, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case. But it would help. Now, if he's the quarterback next year, which I'm assuming he's going to want to be, I'm assuming he's going to have that pride and not have this be the final year. I don't know if he would go anywhere else, but I would think, I don't know if he wants this to be the final year of his career. I would think he would want one more crack at it. I don't know that. But if he's the coach, if he's the quarterback, and I know this sucks, I don't know how else to do it but to have him involved in the search and find an offensive coordinator or coach that, an offensive coach he could feel like he works with. I don't know what else to do. And I don't like that plan. I don't like hiring a coach based on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he would be the sole decision maker, but you got to get him involved more than you would a normal quarterback. That's just the way, that's the nature of the relationship. Unfortunately, that's just it. You can't impose someone on him. It won't work. So, yeah, I agree. Hire an offensive head coach. Figure out someone who can work with his skill set in this team. But Kingsbury sounds like a reasonable name. I don't know who's going to want to take this job right now. If this thing falls apart, you've got an owner who fired the coach midseason. You got a GM who's talking about, I serve at the pleasure of the owner. He probably won't be here, I would think, but I don't know. I don't know who wants to be the GM for this team. I don't know who wants to be the head coach for this team. I don't know who wants to be, saddled with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers who hasn't played hardly in 2 years and hasn't played well in three. I don't know. The Jets are in a tough spot.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, only a few minutes left. Let's get to the calls as quickly as we can. I'll see you tomorrow. Actually, no, that's not true. I'll see you. Well, it depends. I'll see you tonight after the net game, after the football. I'm not sure when, but I'll be on right after the games. As soon as we get back in to talk, I will be there with you until 2 a.m. Filling in for Keith a little bit this week. So we'll have plenty of time to talk. A couple of open nights, 5-hour midnight rides. We got a busy week ahead. But it'll probably be the last week of talking Giants and Jets, unfortunately, because they're about to become irrelevant. Although that's not true, because in 2 weeks they play Tampa. Hopefully they get some, they've been playing tough even with the injuries, but that's a game, hopefully, at home, which they're awful. They could lose to Tampa. Then you go, obviously, Dallas on Thanksgiving. Come on, Dallas, let's go. You get New Orleans, who just had a big-time performance against Atlanta off of firing their head coach. Maybe they can get it going. You get Baltimore. That should be an easy loss. In Atlanta, they're going to need those games at the end of the year, battling for that division. Let's go. Colts, same thing. Could be right in the mix for that division, although they're really starting to play poorly. And then the Eagles, last game of the year. I mean, it is not impossible. The impossible dream of getting the first overall pick, where they sit right now tied with the Jaguars. The Jaguars would have the first pick. Giants have the second pick. And this is what we're debating at 4:54 in the morning, because the Giants suck, and it's on them, not me. Take it up with them. Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
So, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Jets and the Giants. Getting up for the Jets. I mean, the season's over. The season's been over since the week 7 against Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Because, I don't think they're going to make it. But And the Jets, they could tell me that 7 games left. They could tell me it's winnable. It doesn't really matter. Because the season, because I saw the game yesterday,
Well, listen, yeah, I mean, I don't know when the season was over. I bought into that second half. I got to admit, I didn't think they would become a world beater off of that second half against the Texans. I wasn't beating my chest and saying this team's going to the playoffs or they're going to go on a run. I thought they had fixed a lot of their issues and we wouldn't. I thought they would build off that for that second half and at least be a football team. Like, I didn't think the defense not showing up surprised me, I have to admit. The way they performed in this game, the display of tackling they put on, the mistakes they made, just the consecutive pass. Murray did whatever he wanted to do. 17 consecutive passes. Connor running the ball down their throat. McBride doing whatever he wanted to do. I mean, they just were beat on every level. The defense put forth, they didn't want to be there. I didn't see that coming. The offense continued to struggle. I thought they had fixed some of that stuff. I thought there'd be less communication issues. I felt like that was still there. Rodgers looked terrible. Rodgers gets rid of the ball too quickly. Rodgers is like kind of afraid to hold on to the ball to take a hit. Like some of the same stuff that I thought hopefully they'd put behind them and were going to go play good football. Even if they lost, I thought we'd see good football. Instead, the same miserable Jets, 31-6, and an embarrassing performance that officially ends their season. Brian in North Carolina. What's up, Brian? Ken in Miller Place. I'm sorry, Brian. We're doing rapid fire style. I think I heard you at the end there. I apologize. Ken in Miller Place. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, how you doing? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, brother. You keep on saying that, you know, Daniel Jones is the worst quarterback. He's the worst quarterback. And terrible and he's bad for the team.
Yes.
Well, and then you keep on saying if Daniel Jones goes back on the field, that you want all coaches fired.
Correct.
It's bad logic. You want the Giants to lose. Leave the kid out there. Let him screw it up.
You're missing one thing. If he gets hurt, he's here next year. If he gets hurt, which he has done two of the last 3 seasons.
If his contract is still there, he's going to get hurt anyway. Who cares? He's still there.
What do you mean?
Money anyway. He's still got to get just leave him out there and draft your quarterback.
No. You can't have him get hurt. I don't know if you understand. If he gets hurt and finishes the year on IR, they can't cut him. They can't get rid of his money. His contract is guaranteed next year. If he doesn't get hurt, they can just release him and the cap hit isn't that significant. You can't have him back here next year. You can't have him making $40 million next year. It can't happen. It can't happen. So while I do agree with you, and I even joked about this, if it wasn't for the contract situation, I might say keep playing him. That's how bad he is. But I have faith. I have faith that Locke is just as bad. I have faith that Tommy DeVito will lose them just as many games. I have faith. I have faith that the Giants are completely inept in the quarterback room. I have faith. I also have faith that if you play Daniel Jones enough and he's trying to impress and earn a job, whether it's with the Giants or somebody else, he's a tough son of a gun who looks for contact. He runs as much as almost any quarterback in the league. I'm afraid of his neck. I'm afraid of his knee. I'm afraid of anything. He gets hurt 2 out of the last 3 seasons ended on IR. If that happens again, he's here next year. I can't have him here next year. I would rather win every game down the stretch and guarantee that Daniel Jones isn't here than get the top overall pick and risk him being back here. Like, I can't have it. I can't have it. Charles in Bayonne. What's up, Charles?
Big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, buddy.
Just a quick comment and then a question because I really want your opinion on this.
All right, real quick.
But just speaking on a previous caller saying that he would give up one of those two Super Bowls for a few winning seasons is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're two of the greatest Super Bowls in NFL history.
That's particularly why. But yeah, go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah. But so this season, with the exception of the Vikings and the Eagles game, the Giants have been in winnable games all year. And you could argue that they probably should have won most of them. Who's the quarterback you want for next year?
I want them to draft whoever I said the same thing last year. If it's May, if it's J.J. McCarthy, if it's Sanders, if it's Ward, I got to do more digging deep on that. It's not the same kind of class as it was last year. I want Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to have that choice. That's what I'm focused on right now. I don't know who it should be. It's not my job to be that guy. It's their job. I want them to be put in the best possible position to do their job. That's all I want. And I'll live with what comes. That's it for me again. I'll catch you tonight after the football, after Nets, until 2 a.m. Until then, see you. Warm-up show's next. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.